All right, good evening. This is Michael Willis. I'm the current chair of the South Dakota Emergency Response Commission. First item on the agenda, our introduction before we do our call to order and roll call. We do have a few folks in the audience with us. Could you just give us your name and the agency you're with? You can start in the back.
Brett Howard, HVAC program.
John Brown, Park Public Safety, Homeland Security.
Paul Firstwood, Dayton County Emergency Management.
Ben Ogbay, City of Fire and
Do we have any non-board members to make introduction on the online call-in?
Chris Cube with the South Dakota Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources.
Good evening, Chris. All right, with that, we'll call the South Dakota State Emergency Response Commission meeting of September 14th, 2021 to order. I do want to read a statement. I would like to welcome everyone participating in today's meeting or listening online. This meeting is streaming live on SD.net, a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. For the benefit of our online listeners, I request that all participants identify themselves when speaking during the meeting. Participants should also remember to unmute their microphones only when speaking. The meeting is being recorded, and the audio will be made available online following the meeting. To find the audio recording online, do a web search for South Dakota Boards and Commissions portal, follow the link, and select the name of the board, which in this case would be the South Dakota State Emergency Response Commission. With that, if we could get a roll call.
McIntosh? Here. Merriman?
Here.
Dickey?
Here.
Gruber? Canham?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
And Willis?
Here.
We have quorum.
Outstanding. The third agenda item is approval of the June 29th, 2021 CERC meeting minutes. I know that, that those were sent out ahead of time. I'll give just a moment if anyone has any corrections or objections to that meeting. If I don't, or that the meeting minutes, if I don't hear anything, they will stand as approved. All right, the meeting minutes of June 29th, 2021 will stand as approved. Do we have any of our federal partners on the phone? All right, moving on to item number five, LAPC roster approval. Kelsey.
So I received a roster from Union County. As you guys remember, at our last CERC meeting, the CERC had voted to appoint the LAPC for the Union County LAPC. At the time, they had a new emergency manager, and he was not able to get the LAPC formed right away after they had a period of time with no county emergency manager. So now that Jeff has had time to settle in, and I have talked to another member of their LAPC to inform them of what they need to do to be an active LAPC, they have submitted their roster to me, and I sent it to all of the CERC members. So I asked the CERC today if they can approve their roster so Union County can continue moving forward to be an active LAPC.
The chair will entertain a motion.
Yes, I'll make a motion. Second, McIntosh.
All right, I have a motion, a first and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, can we get a roll call vote for, please?
McIntosh? Aye. Merriman?
Aye.
Kruger?
Aye.
Canham?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Willis?
Aye. Motion approved. Kelsey, item number six.
Sorry, we just had another board member pop up.
Oh, okay.
Number six, that grant application. All right. So this year we have $60,474.90 available for the LAPC grants this year. I did email the board members a grant application package. This package has changed a little bit since last year. The only thing that we did was basically change some wording. And as you can see, we do not have the attestation form in there yet. We are currently working on that with the Attorney General's office to get that form updated. and that is not anything that's going to be changed in the form from what it previously stated. And it really isn't something that the board can vote on to change since it's set in law. So we will have that as a change as well. The application consists of five forms that the LEPCs would need to submit in order to apply for the grant. That would be the certification of eligibility, the attestation form, the activity and expenditure summary, the request for an LEPC grant carryover if it is needed, and those need to be submitted if they have more than $200 in their accounts, and the LEPC grant application itself. Those need to be submitted to me November 30th. If the applications are not submitted by that date, they will not be accepted. So if there are any questions on the application itself, we can discuss those now. If not, does the CERC approve of this application packet?
Question, Chairman?
Yes.
Kelsey, this is Kim McIntosh. Kelsey, just as a reminder, maybe explaining to the CERC that the grant dollar amounts are established in law and are distributed in accordance with a procedure that's outlined in law, correct?
Correct. Each LEPC that does apply and is eligible, the first $16,500 is evenly distributed between those LEPCs, and the money after that will then be based on how many Tier 2 facilities they have in their county.
Should have said the chair recognizes Kim McIntosh, but caught me by surprise, and I just said yes. any other comments or questions from the board? And yeah, everything's you know, Title I, Chapter 50 outlined all of that. Any other questions from the board regarding the application that will be used for this upcoming grant round for LEPCs? All right, hearing none, we'll call vote, please.
We need a motion, sir.
Oh, the chair will entertain a motion to approve the draft LEPC grant application with a note that we will include the attestation once it is approved by the attorney general.
Chrissy will make that motion.
The motion, is there a second?
There is a second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote.
McIntosh?
Aye.
Humphrey?
Aye.
Merriman?
Aye.
Dixie?
Aye.
Kruger?
Aye.
Hanham?
Aye.
Dick?
Aye.
And Willis?
Aye. That motion will stand as approved. Next on the agenda is the Regional Hazmat Team update, and we have Mr. John Grome from the South Dakota Office of Homeland Security.
Hi, everybody. Not a lot to report. Currently, the hazmat technician certification training trailer is in Watertown. Next month, it will be installed. We are currently holding the HAZCAT training class in Watertown right now. Next month, we have a CPS tanker truck move to highway tanker truck move to class. Cisco, our live fine air sense search canine, was recently retired due to health issues. And we had already been budgeting to replace them next year with 2 days. So it just moved up our timeline a little bit. But we picked up the replacement. It was the week after the rally was over. So now he's already been through obedience training. So he starts the search dog training. Same handler, he'll be placed with Rhapsody Fire Life. Cisco was adopted by the handler for Dallas. And a veterinarian out there who's a supporter to take care of the needs of the community. The Sturgis Rally training slash standby went really well. We had roll high angle recertification for quite a few members. Then on the last day we were out there, we had a two-part scenario. One half of it went on at the Rackford Water Department, where we simulated protesters with various different locking devices that the team had to get out. And then also the rest of the simulation was passerby thought they heard explosions out by Cactola. And then we had team members go up and set up a high line and went across the back side of Cactola Bay and created the check damage. So we had to set up some really other than that, I really haven't been able to report.
Any questions for John? Hearing none, thank you very much. Next item is Sturgis Rally update. Director Kinsey.
Good evening, everyone. Just a few stats. Everything reportedly went good at the rally, mainly law enforcement issues, which is typical of the motorcycle rally in Sturgis. I did gather some of the final statistics. In general, people felt like from the traffic counts and such that it was up in attendance from last year, but down from the 75th. No major storms, anything like that rolled through during that time frame. So, again, lucky in that area that we didn't have any of those major storms roll through with all the people that were there. I did not get a final estimated count, I guess, of the number of people, but I did get some of the law enforcement statistics. They did respond to 56 injury accidents. They did have 4 fatalities, 4 fatality accidents, 5 fatalities. And just in general, they did their regular drug arrest, DUI arrest. Those ranged from anywhere from about 150. I would say that in general, everyone felt like it was well planned and executed, and again, the storm stayed away. So that's my report for the rally.
Any questions for Tina? Thank you very much. Question: Tim, does Danner still do a lot of like the campground water testing during the rally and all that kind of stuff?
The Department of Health does some of that work beforehand, but yes, in conjunction with the Department of Health, we are checking water systems of a certain size beforehand to make sure that the water is safe for human consumption. Then we work with those facilities that aren't to get them in compliance. So, yep, that went on again this year. I don't know any specific numbers on how many campgrounds had issues, but I do know they may have been.
Thank you for sharing. All right, Rhett, HMEP grants, training and timing report.
Hello, everybody. As you can see, the HMEP 19 is fully being spent. These years of transfer last in Rapid City, we've got about $10,000, almost $15,000 in the HMEP 19. Everdeen closed theirs out fully just a few weeks ago. There's 2 interviews at the City of Watertown Fire to get some money for that. HMEP 20, just did another one this morning for $6,400 for the dual county commodity full study program. So that's actually a little over $20,000. We're doing about 131 for Everything Fire is really doing a good job. They've got some homemade explosives training. They're trying to get set up for 31st responders. They're getting Watertown Fire is going to send 3 people to the cold zone, or they take money from their cold zone, I should say, and they're going to send some people to Aberdeen, Cardinal King's emergency response. I'm going to continuing to purchase PPE with money that's not being used. So, thankful for that.
Thank you, Ren, and thank you for the report that you always submit. It's informative, concise, and easy to read. I appreciate that. Any questions from the CERC on HMEP report or anything that Rhett covered? Awesome. And where? Oh, John?
I just have a comment. There's one about the track of the debt. Yeah.
Awesome. And where are we at in terms of the next application period for HMEP?
We have not heard on HMEP 21 yet. We're hoping to hear anything.
Gotcha. Thank you very much, Rhett. Item number 10, National Advisory Council update. Director Titsy, did you have a meeting between the last?
Thank you. We have at least two phone calls a month for meetings. Our new charges that we're working on are equity. We have three subcommittees. Each has a charge. Equity, vision, and expedite disaster assistance, which is public assistance focused. I'm the chair right now for the expedited disaster assistance charge. So the three committees are diligently working to submit those. Our next meeting in person will be in D.C., and it is scheduled for November. So hopefully the next time we meet, I'll have some information on those recommendations. Previous recommendations, I believe those can be found on the website for the National Advisory Council, the FEMA National Advisory Council. So if you want to see what those individual recommendations were last November, those can be found out there. And we were told today on a leadership call that the responses from FEMA for those recommendations should be coming out any day. So hopefully we'll have some good response from FEMA on what we previously submitted, which was a number of recommendations. And then we are working on equity, vision, and expedite disaster assistance recommendations at this time. All in report.
Thank you very much. And does any CERC member have any questions for the team? And again, it's fantastic that South Dakota has representation on that national level committee, so the council. So super awesome. Appreciate that. Public comment period. Is there anyone from the public that has any comments they would like to make? Hearing none, other business. I just wanted to make a comment that, again, this is typically our one in-person meeting a year, and even though we're still in some infection control weirdness, it really is good to see everybody. I enjoy the meetings where we get to see each other face-to-face, so thank you for everyone that made the jump out. It's good to see you. There are some open positions on the CERC that I know Danner, Kelsey and Trish and Kim are all working in coordination with the governor's office to get the appropriate sectors represented and appointed to the CERC so we can make the commission whole again. So I know a lot of LEDCs are still in various stages of having to navigate our infection control realities, but looking forward to some measure of normalcy in the coming months. So that's all I have. Any other business from any of the members of the CERC?
I have one question. Maybe Kelsey can answer this. This isn't a set of questions, but I really don't know the answer. What are you hearing from our LEDCs? Are they being able to get back up and start operating and start having meetings and...
So I have not actually received as many phone calls as I did the previous year. As far as I know, everyone is getting back to their regular meetings. With our quarterly meeting question that happened last year, we did send out reminder emails to those LEPCs that they need to be having their meetings. I have not heard anything back from them saying that they're having a hard time trying to meet or anything like that. So I have not heard any feedback from them recently.
You bet. I can speak from Pennington County's perspective, obviously, and we continue to have in-person meetings. Paul indicates Yankton County is doing the same. So we do offer, depending on what happens, We will offer virtual attendance at those meetings. But yeah, we continue to meet in person, and LAPC, the Pennington County LAPC, had a booth at the Rapid City Pennington County Disaster Awareness Day this last Sunday. So it's good public content. We have several different public education campaigns or initiatives. Our big one is Sure About That Pitch in terms of what people throw away, so household hazardous materials. And I can also speak to the fact that I believe in October is the next Rapid City Pennington County household hazardous waste event, where we bring in a contractor to accept household hazardous waste and appropriately dispose of it. The amounts are always staggering. The tens of thousands of pounds of household hazardous waste that are collected at those events, I think the amounts are just staggering. So, anyway, that's enough about Pennington. So any other business?
Our next meeting date will be December 21st. And again, that will be over DBN/Teams, or those of us that are in peer will be in the Matthews Training Center. And once I have information for that, I will send that out. And our meetings normally at 10 and 9. I don't remember off the top of my head right now. 10? Okay. I looked at the schedule, and it was scheduled at like 8:30 for the room. I was like, no, that's not right. So it will be at 10 o'clock on December 21st.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Bessie. Anything else? All right. The board would entertain, or the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
We will stand as adjourned. Thank you all, and enjoy your evening.